How advances in gaming can provide better access for people with disabilities. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. This week, we've been looking at disability and technology, where innovation is happening, and where there's work left to do to improve accessibility. To wrap up, let's talk about video games. Sales have spiked during the pandemic, up 26% from last year. Steve Spahn is Chief Operating Officer at Able Gamers Charity, which provides adaptive controllers for tens of thousands of disabled gamers every year, sometimes for free. He worked with Bill Binko at the organization AT Makers to help develop Freedom Wing, a special adapter which helps people who use wheelchairs and have limited mobility in their upper body play video games on consoles or computers.
Why can't we just pull our wheelchair up to an Xbox and play it? Why can't we just drive up and be able to control a drone in the sky or a vehicle? And that's where this adapter that we developed, the Freedom Wing, came from. Is, you know, orthopedic therapists and Bill Binko and a lot of people who are in those medical spaces have been saying to us for a while, you should be able to take these highly specialized, highly customized devices that take tens of hours in order to put together thousands of dollars and just use them on different technology without having to reinvent the wheel every single time.
Let's talk about esports a bit. Obviously, esports are increasingly popular. Are there tools that maybe some of these competitive game players are using to get an edge that then could funnel into accessibility technology, even for non-gamers?
There's a lot of items that are not intended for the disability community that end up working out just great. For example, Discord is the latest and greatest in audio technology. Everybody who's a gamer, everyone who's a player has a Discord account. And it's just a program you put on your phone in order to play and talk to each other during the games. But now people use it for interviews. I use Discord more often than I use Zoom these days. So Zoom is just inherently inaccessible. I use a program called Dragon Naturally Speaking to be able to type. So if I mute the call in Zoom, it mutes my entire computer. So therefore, I am now rendered completely unable to communicate with anyone else while that's muted. So that's why programs like Discord are better, because they've already thought about accessibility and have included it where, you know, places like Zoom still have some catching up to do. You know, there's things like, for example, one of my most recommended controllers is called a Track IR, right? And it's a controller where you put a hat on your head with a little infrared clip, and there's a camera that sits on top of your monitor. And when you move your head around, up, down, left, right, it can see that. And it was originally intended to be part of Microsoft Flight Simulator. So you could look around the cockpit of an airplane and be like, oh, pretty down there. But we discovered that you could use that same technology and make it do keyboard inputs so that now I can type keyboard letters with just moving my head around. And that allows you to play games. So what you're constantly doing if you're disabled is repurposing and re-engineering things so that they can be used in everyday settings. So maybe there's a controller that can push three buttons at the same time, and in fact there are, and you can use these in esports if they let you. Now, not every esport allows you to do this kind of thing. There are often times where they consider this against the rules, it's cheating, etc., etc. And there really hasn't yet been an opportunity for players with disabilities to really get into esports arena. And, you know, that's one of those projects that we continue to work on, is how does this work? How could we make it fair for people with disabilities to play, while at the same time not giving a superior edge to people who are already very, very good with a standard controller? So, you know, it's just a matter of working out the fairness and figuring out how esports fits in the disability community.
But that brings up the point that accessibility in gaming is more than just about playing the video game itself.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, what we always say at Able Gamers is that it's just an attempt to allow people to have that way to combat social isolation. The entire charity's mission purpose is to combat social isolation, foster inclusive communities, and improve the quality of life for people with disabilities. And we do that by connecting you to other human beings, your family members, your friends, your community. You can get back out into that and not be alone using video games. And, you know, sometimes people will be like, oh, video games are not important, or I'm not a gamer, I don't want to play. And it's like, we're trying to explain that this is just the tool that we're using. It's like your car, right? So you may not care about what you drive, but you just need a tool to get you from your house to hanging out with your friends. And that's the same thing that video games can do. We can get you to an area where you have a purpose of going and providing for your guildmates and having that real sense of purpose. Evil Gamers was really fortunate a few years ago to work with Walter Reed Army Hospital. And we were able to find that in instances where someone is coming back and they have had an injury, that they were more than 50% less likely to consider self-harm if they had that close-knit unit, that same experience of being over there with their army unit over here in video games.
Steve Spahn is chief operating officer at Able Gamers Charity. He told us there are about 46 million potential players with disabilities in the U.S. Most of the people reaching out to his group in particular have a physical disability that limits their ability to use traditional controllers. And now for some related links. There was some big breaking news in the gaming world Thursday. Apple booted the immensely popular and profitable game Fortnite from its App Store, accusing it of violating store guidelines by operating its own in-app payment system that goes around Apple's payment system and denies Apple the 30% cut. Fortnite maker Epic then accused Apple of running a monopoly. Obviously, both parties are going to court over this, and Verge has a good write-up. There's a link at marketplacetech.org. We mentioned earlier this week about the court ruling in California saying Uber and Lyft needed to start classifying its drivers as employees. Now, both companies are threatening to shut down services in the state, at least until November, when the issue will come before voters in a ballot measure. Critics of the companies say they're bluffing, but again, this will all be playing out in the courts very soon. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jesus Alvarado is our assistant producer. Michael Lipkin is our senior editor. Robin Edgar is our engineer. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.